Any questions, just send me an email, okay? We'll talk about public sociology today, and in the last weeks you got familiarized with the concepts of the intellectual and the academic, and you heard about various ways in which intellectuals distinguish themselves from academics, and also where we can see overlaps. And Steve portrayed various public intellectuals from the past as well as from the present. And he talked extensively about Richard Dawkins, about Jean-Jacques Rousseau, about Sartre and Heidegger. And all of them are either from the natural sciences, philosophy or literature. And likewise, if you remember the Wikipedia page poll on who the public most important public intellectuals are, most of them came either from philosophy or from science or from literature. So one wonders where all the sociologists are. And it is surprising and equally shocking to see that from the top of our heads we cannot recall a lot of sociologists, leaving aside Anthony Giddens being particularly present in the public sphere. So with a few exceptions, including Steve, for example, sociologists seem to be more comfortable in the familiar territories of the university than outside. And if you listen to the radio, you will hear sociologists on Women's Hour, and you will hear them on Laurie Taylor's Thinking Aloud. And they may talk about their particular experience in public. However, it will be less likely for you to hear them talking about their particular opinion apart from their specific expertise. So you won't hear them commenting on Iraq, on teenage crime, or on the privatization of public goods. But this is something you would usually expect public intellectuals to do. So after all, the question we have to ask here is whether the talk about public intellectuals is and should be of any relevance to sociologists. And this is what I will be talking about today. So you could now quite rightly ask why sociologists should be more inclined to go public than people from other disciplines. There are some assumptions why one might think that sociologists should be particularly drawn towards an engagement with the public in their work. First of all, the subject of sociologists is, to put it in very crude terms, society, the social. So we talk about the social, and one could say our expertise is just that. And supposedly we know more about the subject than any common person in the street. Although there are movements within sociology that say, well, everybody is a sociologist and we all have equal knowledge, that kind of movement that tries to encounter the big gap between experts and lay people in general. Hence, one would conclude that having this kind of knowledge about the social would lend itself to increased participation in public discourse. However, the question whether there arises a specific kind of responsibility for sociologists with regard to the public is by no means a new question, and it has been a concern of sociology for many years. I think you're familiar with the names I will mention now, but you will probably wonder how they are connected with the topic of public sociology. C. Wright Mills. So, with the sociological imagination, his main criticism was targeted both at empiricism as well as at functionalism, and Talcott Parsons as the main representative. That was back in 1959. And Mills' sociological imagination was a milestone. It was really like, it gave identity to so many sociologists and also to sociology students. And I mean, it's all a surprise, courses in the beginning of your first year, sociological imagination, that is how you're kind of socialized into the subject, whether you like the course or not. And Mills complained that sociology had become less of a creative ethos and more of a like very machine-like way of dealing with numbers as scientists do that. And there wasn't, he said that the kind of normative focus of sociology had gone lost. So what he suggested with this concept of the sociological imagination was that we should act against the paradigm of value freedom in research. And this meant that sociologists should make their seemingly personal troubles to public issues. And what is already inherent in this message is that sociologists need to engage with the public, both in the way they work as well as in the way they address the public afterwards and when they disseminate their research. So one can say that Mills was a political activist and a polemicist in a period when most professional sociologists were still very much concerned with establishing their discipline as an objective science and institutionalizing it in the university. So Mills wanted to make all sociology to public sociology, and in making this point he went back to the late 19th century forefathers, for whom scholarly and moral enterprises were indistinguishable. And we talked about that on Monday in the seminar as well. So for that reason, Mills was once called the champion of traditional public sociology by Michael Borrower, about whom I will talk later on. But it also seems to be important to contextualize C. Wright Mills' work in the times when it was written. It was the Cold War, so all the critique Mills targeted at functionalism already had a political dimension to it, because it was at the same time a critique of the US conservative regime of that time. I'd love to mention a few other theorists to you whom we could classify as public sociologists, but we're really running short in time, and I can only mention Alvin Guldner to you. I'm not sure how many have heard of him before. Yeah, I think you may have heard of him in the context of criminal sociology. He was one of the contrahands of Howard Becker in the dispute about sociology and its underdogs and whether we should defend the underdogs, the so-called deprived people in society, or what should be our task as sociologists, whom we should defend, whom we should help, in, so to speak, with our research. His idea was that he coined the notion of reflexive sociology. So his idea was that sociologists should not only study other people, they should first and foremost study themselves in order to be more, to live up to the claims they make about themselves as sociologists. And that means ultimately that they have to therefore transform themselves as sociologists. And that means your value systems might be in a flux and might be subject to change because of this reflexive moment. Yeah? In the 1980s, the sociologist's role in the public wasn't really talked about that much. But in the last 3 years, the question of sociologists' role with regard to the public really experienced a kind of revival. And the person whose name needs mentioning here and who prompted a revival of the topic is Michael Borrower. Have you heard of him? He will also come to the university in a few weeks' time to talk about the extended case method, which was one of his specialisms a couple of years ago. So he's a sociologist from the US University of Berkeley, and I think he's in his 50s. And for most of his life he has been occupied with labor studies and globalization. And in the 1970s he published a book called The Manufacturing of Consent. And if you ever do a course in sociology of work, I'm sure you will come across his name. And the book was about the fact that workers, though being exploited, they somehow are complicit with the production of with capitalist mode of production because they play the game as well, and therefore that's how consent is manufactured in a capitalist system. Yeah? However, Borrower's recent fame is not connected to his original specialism at all. In 2004, he became the president of the American Sociological Association. And you know, when you become the president of any kind of professional association, what you do is you give a presidential address. And that in itself would be worth doing some research on, you know, how presidential addresses change over the years. And it's always a good chance for a president to make a really strong statement about something that matters to him or her. Borrower's presidential address was called on public sociology, and this article I will forward to you for the seminar after Reading Week. So the first Monday after Reading Week, we'll talk about that, okay? And the discussions and responses that followed the publication of this paper were published in numerous journals and also in the British Journal of Sociology. And maybe you've heard of him in the context of professional associations making a more political stance. So during the Iraq War, for example, he made a motion within the American Sociological Association to stand up against the Iraq War. And that was a massive moment, you know, and it was discussed very widely in sociology. How can we do that? And it raises all these questions about, you know, the kind of questions you might have heard of in the context of Weber and science as a vocation. Are we allowed to make a political statement as sociologists? Are we doing that out of our sociological thought? Or is it something that comes on, that comes as something extra, yeah? But that's just a sidestep. So what was it that seemed to having shaken up sociology in its roots? What are Borrower's main points? So in this article you will read, Borrower criticizes the lameness of sociologists, and he blames them for not taking up current issues, for being extremely specialized, for writing for each other instead of writing for other publics, non-academic publics, and for losing sight of important events in the outside world. Of course, in this critique, Michael Borrower is not alone, and other current sociologists such as Liz Stanley or John Scott or Stephen Turner, they have all criticized that. And they all argue that we mainly produce knowledge for academic audiences and not for the outside world, and that publications as such are often used as credentials for our careers and more than for anything else. And that we hardly ever have an impact on public life, so to speak. So the essence of Borrower's critique is that the lack of presence of sociologists in the public represents a major break of what he calls the ethos of the discipline. Yeah? And he says that we wouldn't live up to the claims sociologists frequently make about the objectives of that discipline, namely critique and the taken for granted, questioning what other people think is just normal, yeah? Questioning the so-called deviant. Or to speak again with C. Wright Mills, to make our personal troubles to public issues, to really go out there and say, hey, I think this is an issue we need to address in a more analytical way. And the question that arises here, of course, is whether there's a particular kind of responsibility for being public in relation to specific disciplines, and also a specific set of values that goes with that, moral values. And according to Borrower, that is the case for sociology. And he sees sociology in stark contrast to other disciplines. Basically, he argues that whilst the standpoint of economics is the markets, accumulation of capital, and the standpoint of political science is the nation state, and the guarantee of political stability, he says that the standpoint of sociology is civil society and the defense of the social. And sociology, he says, should defend the interests of humanity. And that is to say that for him, sociology should also play a political role with a clear moral standpoint. So how does he envision sociologists to be public? Well, Borrower considers publics as something rather complex, and not only does he aim for sociologists to go public with their research and to make research more accessible to the public in the sense of public understanding of the social sciences, an equivalent as you have it in the natural sciences, where you just say public understanding of science, and that already in many countries is a subject in itself. He's also very interested in transforming the public by giving them access to sociology. So in a sense, he's interested in making sociology to a kind of social movement. These are not his words, yeah, but a lot of people have interpreted it in this way. And he would also like to think of sociologists and the public to be in a kind of dialogue. So it's not only you as an expert who says, well, okay, this is our research, okay, the government gave us the funding, this is the research, do what you want. He says that we should be in contact with the public and that it's a kind of dialogue. In your methods courses, you might have heard of action research, yeah? Does that ring a bell? So in action research, it is common for the participants to play an equally powerful role as the researcher. So the participants, if I did some, let's say, if you did some research on other students on the university, you would afterwards invite them to help you analyzing the material and all of these things. So the kind of power relations are a bit questions here, okay? So this is what he's after. But likewise, he says that the multiple publics we have also reflect the different types of sociology we have to work on. And so that has to be integrated into the discipline. And for Borrowoy, the questions knowledge for whom and knowledge for what define the fundamental character of our discipline. And he says that not only do these questions divide sociology into four different types, which is political sociology, public sociology, critical sociology, and professional sociology, but they would also allow us to understand how each type of sociology is internally constructed. So we have this kind of home field matrix, yeah? And that's professional sociology. And here we have critical sociology. And he says these four different types of sociology, they correspond to four different types of knowledge. So professional sociologists, they produce more instrumental knowledge. That's a kind of research that is produced within research programs. You have to keep that in mind. He's talking about ideal types here. You cannot find these clear-cut categories in reality all the time, so keep that in mind. And he says critical sociology is the kind of sociology that is reflexive of itself. And public sociology is the kind of sociology we confront, we take outside to the public, and we try to have an impact with on the public. And in political sociology, you have more clear-cut values, and this is how it goes. And the reason why he makes this distinction is that he says we have a clear division of labor within sociology, and he embeds that division in the current situation of higher education, where he says, for example, there's a lot of contingent labor in academia, so young lecturers, they sometimes don't have very secure contracts, and they, for example, they would really put themselves at risk making clear critical statements. So probably you can only do that. He's talking about the US context here, but it also applies to the UK, I think. So in that context, sometimes you can only afford making really critical statements once you are in a more secure position. So your positioning also relates somehow to the way you can speak out and make a statement, yeah? Which is something to think about. For him, every sociology works according to its own criteria, as I said, to critical sociology wants to keep the reflexive moment in mind. And for public sociology, knowledge is based on the consensus between sociologists and the public. I thought that was mine. No. So what are the responses to Borrowoy's article? And why did it provoke so much discussion? I'm not sure whether you think that's really dynamite, or maybe you're bored, you know? I mean, it's just difficult for me to judge whether you think wow, we should take a political outlook, or maybe that's something that got you into sociology, that you thought, oh, you want to make a difference, or maybe that's a kind of 60-ish idea. At least for me, this was something I thought about when I started studying sociology back home. So his article on public sociology, it resulted in numerous special issues all over the world. And a lot of discussions were related to that. And Borrower was also on a global tour with his subject. And maybe you know that he was here in Warwick in spring 2006 for the annual sociological debate in the department. And his contrahent was Charles Turner. I'm sure you all know him. So he has a more Weberian position. And the topic of the discussion was social sciences and politics. So it was quite good, yeah? And they were talking about all these issues I talked about now. I'm not sure whether you can still look at it or listen to it on the archives page of the department. Just have a go. So what are the main points of critique of Borrower's proposal? Let me just outline three questions that address the major points of critique. First of all, is public sociology necessarily linked with a specific moral position? Yeah? Secondly, how useful is it to have a division of labor in sociology, academics versus public sociologists, as he suggests? And thirdly, finally, how can we define publics? And is there a non-public sociology? Where does the public start? So coming to the first point, that going public is maybe not necessarily driven by one moralist position. There are a few topics hidden under Borrower's. The first point was, is public sociology necessarily linked with a specific moral position? Okay? Coming to that, I want to say that there are a few topics hidden under Borrower's heading of public sociology. What it boils down to is that public sociology in a Borroweian sense is not only taken as an expression for sociology going public, but it also stands for a clear political agenda. And what this implies for Borrower is a very leftist agenda. And one can stand wherever one wished on a political spectrum, but from the perspective of a public intellectual, and this is what we have to think about here, this clear statement definitely raises some problematic issues. Is or should sociology automatically have a leftist agenda? That's what we have to ask. And do all sociologists subscribe to that automatically because of them being sociologists? And do all of these values that are put in place as the moral values of sociology, are they eternal values or are they subject to change depending on events in the outside world? So this is a deeply problematic view, and if we would like to see public sociology and public sociologists as another expression for public intellectuals, we're having some serious issues here, I would say. Having in mind that public intellectuals can be characterized by an intriguing way of questioning everything, no matter how politically incorrect it was. One could say that Borrower's moralist public sociology stands at odds with this. And so, just to give you another example, you may have heard of the academic trade union in the UK bringing up the motion against Israeli academics last year. And that was brought forward in the union and promoted by a lot of people. And it caused an enormous body of discussion because, again, it raised the issues of how can we connect an intellectual with a political project, and are our values informed by our sociology? And isn't that something we shouldn't address as a collective body? But isn't that a very personal question? That is something for you to think about. So what is potentially worrying is Borrower's blind trust in the mutual interaction with the public, and that he nearly maps that out as an educative process for both sociologists as well as for the public. and that he sees this kind of social movement within sociology. This takes a very strong ideological sense. So we have to ask whether there's a specific set of values that is necessarily linked to sociological activity that is eternally the same. And to take this further, we could ask, would public sociologists with a Borrowian model in mind be able to question themselves? And plus, in the worst case, if one only focused on one set of morals, on one set of values, then actually a great leftist standpoint, so to speak, that remains unquestioned could potentially put the principles at risk Borrowoy wanted to keep up, such as the salvation of humanity, if things remain unquestioned. Coming to the second question, the second concern, how useful is it to have a division of labor within sociology, academics versus public sociologists? One could say, isn't there a risk of public sociology becoming another subdiscipline of sociology? In a certain sense, there's a risk of a sociology of sociology becoming, it's slightly fetishized, and wouldn't that be in contradiction with the original aim of sociologists dealing with public matters? So in his outline, there would be some sociologists, and not all of them, dealing with the public, whereas others would just stay where they are, following professional pursuit. It has to be considered that there are different ways of dealing with the public, and not everybody probably is a born public speaker. But in a sense, one could ask whether there is more to ask from sociologists than just being in a private office. And there is another point one could address here, namely research funding as public money, and whether that also, which is what is often argued, obliges us to disseminate knowledge. And that, keep that in mind, is another reason why the publishing market is expanding so much, because people are actually required to publish a lot, but that is a particular kind of public dissemination, and we were addressing a more non-academic public today. So keep in mind the differences between academic publics and non-academic publics and how that gap can be switched. So it is surprising that he doesn't ask for a more general public sociology element across all areas of sociology, one has to say. And yes, one can think about that. So the final point I would like to make is, how can we define publics? And is there a non-public sociology? Where does the public start? Borrowoy's notion of public sociology also raises thoughts about the bare possibility of such a thing as a non-public sociology. If we do not intend to address the public as sociologists, we have to ask whether it's actually possible to be in a non-public space. But isn't sociology per se a public enterprise, knowing that it takes place within the university? And asking this question about the public or non-public character of sociology therefore equals asking where the public starts and ends. And Borrowoy himself addressed the fact that students should be seen as our first publics, especially in the context of an expanding publishing market, where the very idea of sharing knowledge and the purpose of disseminating knowledge with the public is somehow defeated because the focus is only and only on academic knowledge production and dissemination in selected journals that are taken into account for, I'm talking about the UK now, for the research assessment exercise, which is the kind of measurement for academic publications in this country, and then according to that you just climb up the career ladder, and an article somewhere in a newspaper doesn't count that much. And with that in mind, teaching gains a completely different dimension, because students are still a first audience we address in as such in the university. And so we can't say that public starts outside the university, it just starts right there where we are. However, our common understanding of the public is that it starts outside the university. We always talk about bringing it out there, and we're talking less about ourselves in that sense and forgetting about the baseline of what universities are about producing that knowledge and about teaching students and being in touch with each other. I mean, you're just coming from, when first year students come in, they are the people you can really talk about, and there's an exchange of ideas, and one should really exploit that possibility of being in touch with people in such a scenario, I would say. So, to conclude with, I presented you Borrower's understanding of public sociology as a possible interpretation of sociologists and their intellectual engagement with the outside world. And what I wanted to show you was how Borrower's paper really revived the discussion about sociology and its aims. And that also touches upon the question we talked about in the seminar on Monday, namely the possibility of a separation between work and life and how the personal and the political play into each other in our own discipline. Yeah? And you might also find that when you write an essay, how much can I bring in my own value statements and see, I mean, it's not something that starts once you have finished your degree. You're already doing that now. And what you will hopefully take away from today's lecture is that attempts like Borrower's of making sociology engage with questioning sociology's purpose and asking how we can address the public need to be welcomed. So whilst he needs to be attributed for having confronted his peers with the most essential question of why we are finally doing sociology and what it is for, these big questions, his answers to these questions still need to be read with caution and need to be more scrutinized, in particular if we want to take on the role of intellectuals and practice critical inquiry. So that is to say that critical inquiry should not exempt us from being scrutinized ourselves. And yet, such a viewpoint is not compatible with a fixed set of values, as Borrower seems to practice them. Although it might be highly compatible with sociology itself, but not necessarily. So we need to be cautious in coining public sociology and the role of sociologists with regard to the public in just one particular fixed way. And a one-dimensional moralist understanding of public sociology and the message that sociologists want to bring across does not seem to be beneficial to an overall aim of sociologists acting in a critical and questioning manner, taking public intellectuals as an example. And if this is what sociology should be about, thanks.